Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferron, and here are the headlines. Member of Electoral Commission blames government for not implementing critical electoral reforms. Prince Harry begins whirlwind royal tour of Caribbean. And Trump, US to quit TPP trade deal on first day in office. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of DigiCell. The details of these and more stories after this.
Play fast, play loud, play bold. Enjoy flexibility and best value from Digicel Play's new TV and broadband bundles from as low as $89. With Play Fast, enjoy 32 video channels. Play Loud gives you 46 video channels. Then there's Play Bold, 98 video channels. All bundles come with 50 music channels, 8 radio channels, and 8 megs internet. Choose the bundle that's right for you. Sign up today. Get free connection, free installation and setup box, or sign up for our TV only offer from as low as $25. Call 616-1700 for details.
First up in the news this morning, there have been numerous calls for steps to be taken towards the implementation of electoral reform here. Many have criticized the Electoral Commission of not making any serious move towards implementing the much-needed reforms which will ensure free and fair elections in Dominica. Among some of the reforms highlighted are introduction of voter ID cards and sanitization of the voters list. But member of the Electoral Commission Wayne James has blamed the government of not making critical electoral reforms a reality.
I want to be honest with the people of Dominica, and I want to say that the powers that be is the one holding back this process at this point in time. I think that also I must say that the commission, if after taking a decision like that some 8 years ago, should be doing everything within the power that the Constitution gives the Commission to ensure, one, by educating the people of Dominica as to the urgency about the re-registration of voters and the issuance of ID card. And I believe if every Dominica understands that, then they will then force the powers that be to do what is necessary.
Meanwhile, James has given his commitment to doing all possible to ensure that those reforms are implemented during his tenure in the commission.
I will do everything that is humanly possible to ensure that this is what is done for the people of Dominica, because I prefer being on the right side of history than to be on the wrong side of history. And the young people of Dominica, I want to call on them to take much more interest in this, because for me, I see the next general election is going to be decided by the young people of this country. And I want them to understand exactly how important it is for governments to be chosen freely, and persons should not in any way, shape or form try to corrupt the process like this. Because if we allow that to continue, then Dominica, to be honest, it's not going to be the lovely country that all of us so desire to be part.
Member of the Electoral Commission, Wayne James. Meantime, Serafinia James Turney, organizer of a Peer Helpers Coordinators workshop held last week, describes the workshop as timely. She hopes it will enhance the drug prevention programs at the respective schools. The workshop was organized for schools in the East, Southeast, Roseau, and Southern districts and was facilitated by Ms. Martha Jarvis, Research and Information Officer of the National Drug Abuse Prevention Unit. A release stated that 11 primary school teachers were in attendance. Ms. Jarvis focused on minimum quality standards for a drug abuse prevention program. At the end of the workshop, participants were able to, one, identify the risk-based prevention approach, two, identify the risk-based drug abuse prevention models, three, identify the characteristics of prevention programs, four, identify the minimum quality standards for prevention programs, and five, describe the basic definitions of the minimum quality components. A similar workshop will be held for schools in the West, North, and Northeastern districts. In more news this morning, scientist at the UE Seismic Research Center, Dr. Erosila Joseph, expects that the boiling lake will return to its normal state. One of Dominica's most popular attractions, the boiling lake, has recently exhibited some strange activity, including reduction in volume and significant cooling of the usually boiling lake or boiling water. Speaking on local state media, Dr. Joseph said, based on the lake's past behavior, it will return to its boiling state soon enough. She says proper assessments have to be made to determine the length of time it will take to get back to a normal state.
I don't envision a complete shutdown forever, just because, and this is worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, it does not return to normal. This is this new state, you know, it's new permanent state, you know. Then this would be the state of the boiling lake. But we need more time to observe it in order to do an assessment. You know, it has always shown that return to normal. So I don't expect that to happen. But let us say that this is now its new state. Then, you know, we need time in order to observe that and to understand, you know, what is.
Scientist at the UE Seismic Research Center, Dr. Erosila Joseph. Meantime, climate change has been a major issue for small island developing states, and as its effects continue to grow, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, along with other heads of CARICOM member states, are said to have been championing for the developed world to take financial responsibility. In his travel report on Friday, the Prime Minister stated that the existence of small island states will continue to be threatened unless mitigation resources against climatic changes are institutionalized.
The matter of climate change continues to be of some concern to us as small states, Dominica included. Our attendance at this summit was critical as we continue to advocate our meaningful commitment from the main emitters of greenhouse gases. Dominica, like the rest of CARICOM, will continue to make it very clear that the financial resources need to be made available the soonest by the developed world. Our country's very existence is under serious threat if mitigation against climatic conditions are not put in place. Time on this matter of climate change waits for no man, and indeed no country. And the sheer cost of dealing with climatic conditions, the damage caused by climatic conditions, is something of great.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. National Coordinator for the Global Environment Facility, Agnes Espri, says the official launch of Phase 6 of the GEF, or Global Environment Facility Small Grants Program, operations will take place on Tuesday, the 22nd of November 2016, at the Fort Young Hotel from 9 a.m. At this event, the strategic initiatives, objectives, and plans for Operation Phase 6 will be presented. Results of Operation Phase 5 will be showcased through presentations by grantees and exhibition of products from the SGP projects. Information on environmental areas of focus and the SGP grant-making process will also be shared to increase awareness and understanding amongst the public. Espri said the Global Environment Facility Small Grants Project embodies the very essence of sustainable development by thinking globally and acting locally. It provides financial and technical support to projects that conserve and restore the environment and enhance people's well-being and livelihoods. During operational Phase 6, SGP continues to demonstrate that community action can maintain the balance between human needs and environmental imperatives. In more news this morning, the 16th Spanish Language Week, organized by the Embassy of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, in the Commonwealth of Dominica is said to have ended successfully with an awards ceremony last Friday. This is an annual event coordinated with the Venezuelan Institute for Culture and Cooperation. The secondary schools that participated in the spelling and linguistic competitions, all in Spanish, were Dominica Community High School, the Dominica Grammar School, Convent High School, Isaiah Thomas Secondary School, Castle Bruce Secondary School, Orion Academy, and the Northeast Comprehensive School. Louis Aarons of Convent High School won the spelling competition and the linguistic competition, followed by the Convent High School. They grabbed first place. The Dominica Grammar School and the Dominica Community High School grabbed third place. Venezuela Ambassador Hayden Perella Sanchez congratulated all of the secondary school's participants and their various principals and Spanish teachers for being enthusiastic in teaching Spanish at their schools as a second language. The competition commenced on Monday, 14th November 2016, and ended on Friday, 19th November 2016. Meantime, government is said to be looking closely at developing sports tourism in Dominica. That's according to Tourism Minister Senator Robert Tong, who spoke to the media recently.
Sports tourism is something that we are looking at, and we're hoping that the various associations can, they're the best ones to really advocate and push these things forward. So we are open to persons coming and speaking to us to see what projects we can put together with their help to promote sports tourism. So just last week, I did a little speech at an event where the Dominica Guadeloupe Association is promoting cricket throughout all the French islands, so Guadeloupe, Martinique, French Guyana, and the intention is to expose cricket to the youth of in the French islands and also bring them to Dominica. So you had two teams who were in Dominica over the weekend playing cricket to all the different areas and different people of Dominica, and again exploring and enjoying what we have to offer in terms of our natural attractions and our food, and very importantly the friendliness of our people. So something is starting, but it'll be a good idea for the various associations to put plans together and come to us and let us discuss it and see which ones we can support.
Tourism Minister Senator Robert Tong. Dominica joined the rest of the world yesterday in celebrating World Fisheries Day under the theme Act Responsibly, Let Us Create a Sustainable Fishing Industry. World Fisheries Day is celebrated every year on November 21st throughout the world by the fisherfolk communities. Fishing communities worldwide celebrate this day through rallies, workshops, public meetings, cultural programs, dramas, exhibition, music shows, and demonstrations to highlight the importance of maintaining the world's fisheries. A recent United Nations study reported that more than two-thirds of the world's fisheries have been overfished or are fully harvested, and more than one-third are in a state of decline because of factors such as the loss of essential fish habitats, pollution, and global warming. Norman J. Norris, senior officer of Dominica's Fisheries Department, highlights some of the events on the local level that are meant to raise awareness and celebrate the event.
Right. Today we're doing fish ID and promotion of good identifying the various parts of a fish. We have staff there doing some work and at Pioneer School in Canefield. And tomorrow they're having an Eat Fish Day activity at the school. So this continues our Eat Fish Day promotion program. We have catch and consumption of fish. Our basic fisherman training course, like I mentioned earlier on, number 39 will be done 5th to 9th of December. And we also have, as part of the program, fishing as a business, because we recognize that the challenges that fishers face in accessing inputs. One of the hurdles that they have is security. They also have challenges with evidence of activity. So we try to promote that so that they can keep proper records and thereby give them a much better chance of being able to get resources.
Norman G. Norris, senior officer of Dominica's Fisheries Department. The World Fisheries Day helps in highlighting the critical importance to human lives. In more news in the region, Prince Harry of Wales touched down to a red carpet welcome on Sunday, November 20th, 2016 at the VC Bird International Airport in Antigua aboard a British Airways commercial flight as he began his 15-day royal visit of several Caribbean countries, including St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Grenada, Barbados and Guyana. Prince Harry, age 32, wearing a navy suit, white shirt and light blue tie, was met and greeted at the VC Bird International Airport by the Governor General Sir Rodney Williams and Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda, Gaston Brown. His welcome included a Caribbean band and members of the Antigua and Barbuda Defense Force while he inspected a guard of honor. And President-elect Donald Trump says the U.S. will quit the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal on his first day in the White House. He made the announcement in a video message outlining what he intends to do first when he takes office in January. The TPP trade deal was signed by 12 countries, which together cover 40% of the world's economy. The Republican also pledged to reduce job-killing restrictions on coal production and stop visa abuses. And that's the morning news, but first a recap of four headlines. Member of Electoral Commission blames government for not implementing critical electoral reforms. Prince Harry begins whirlwind royal tour of Caribbean. And Trump, U.S. to quit TPP trade deal on first day in office. The news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of DigiCell. If you've missed any of our newscasts, you can always log on to our website. It's www.q95da.com to view the stories or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. Also, for any breaking story or latest development, send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message to the numbers 615-1426 or 276-2147. On behalf of the entire news team, I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell, wishing you a very pleasant morning.